Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Top of the 8 o'clock hour here at our nation's capital. It's a Monday night edition of Overtime, the final edition of Overtime before the 2024 NFL Draft. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora set to join the program. He also covers the National Football League and writes for the Washington Post. So we will talk to Jason Lockenfora about all things NFL draft and what he's been hearing when it comes to the NFL draft. The big reason I wanted to have Jason on, he put a piece out in the Washington Post on Friday that really lent some insight into what the top decision makers around the National Football League are thinking. Jason's been covering the NFL for over 20 plus years, and we know how plugged in he is here locally. That's why this comment that was made by a GM to Jason really sparked my interest. As we continue to say, the Washington Commanders, to me, are a total wild card with that number two overall pick. I firmly believe that there is no consensus and most folks don't really know what Washington's going to do with the pick. I think it's a four quarterback race, especially with Michael Penix Jr. having a clean bill of health amongst talent evaluators. I don't think it's May versus Daniels. I think McCarthy's in the mix. I think Penix is in the mix. But Jason Lockenfora talked to several active general managers across the National Football League. And two general managers had this to say about the Washington Commanders. Quote, two general managers told me they believe that if the Washington Commanders let analytics guide them, J.J. McCarthy is their guess for the number two overall pick. Now, I want to stop right there. Eugene Shen, the analytics guy that Washington brought in, was considered one of the bigger hires of the offseason. Josh Harris, in his time with the Philadelphia 76ers and the Devils, really put an added emphasis on analytics. So according to two GMs, they believe if Washington lets the analytics department guide the decision, then J.J. McCarthy out of the University of Michigan would be their guess for the pick. The two general managers also agreed on this. If the team's coaches hold significant sway, and offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, if that voice resonates, then Jaden Daniels would be the selection for Washington. Both those GMs also came out and said they believe Jaden Daniels would love to be a Raider. Now, there's a lot to unpack with that. I firmly believe that the Washington Commanders, as I've continued to say, are split right now on this decision. And it sounds like to these two general managers, they also feel the same way. There is a balance of power that's got to be firmly talked about. There is a balance of power that we have to sift through here. Washington, this is the first time this new front office is participating in the NBA, or excuse me, in the NFL draft together. They've got a new analytics department. They've got a new football guy in there, and Adam Peters. And they've got a defensive-minded coach that knows he must lean on his offensive coaching staff to make these big-time decisions and to make this pick ultimately. I would say this about where Washington's front office currently is. Josh Harris has an affinity for the analytics. He wants to win between the margins. Eugene Shen is going to influence this draft. I understand Adam Peters is going to make the final say, we think. But Eugene Shen, in my opinion, will influence this draft. According to these two GMs, J.J. McCarthy is where the analytics department may lean. Now, McCarthy is an interesting case study in terms of what Washington can do with that number two overall pick. I've said it all processed, though. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. If Adam Peters and company come to the decision that J.J. McCarthy out of the University of Michigan is their guy, then so be it. Then J.J. McCarthy will be the guy here. Point blank. Now, obviously, I'm going to scratch my head a little bit because I continue to feel like J.J. McCarthy's projection is the most difficult of any of the guys in the draft. Because the things that we are projecting him to do, you don't see him do it a hell of a lot on tape. You just don't. So with J.J. McCarthy, I've always felt like, man, he's risky. Man, he's risky. But according to talent evaluators, they're higher on him than maybe some guys like myself are. For Washington, though, do you think J.J. McCarthy's ready to come in and play from day one? We played the clip for you last week. We had J.J. McCarthy on. Excuse me. We had J.J. McCarthy's personal QB coach on, Greg Holcomb. He joined myself and Chris Russell last week on the Team 980. I asked him straight up, do you think J.J. McCarthy could come in and play from day one? He said he thinks he would be best served sitting behind someone from day one. I don't think Washington is in position or would even make the decision of taking a guy at number two that can't come in and play from day one, which is why I've continued to feel like Drake May is not their preference because that's what you hear about him. That's why I've continued to feel like, man, McCarthy may not be their preference. I don't know, though. They could lean both ways on those guys. They could like May to come in and play from day one. They could like McCarthy to come in and play from day one. But based on what you hear around the water cooler, a lot of execs continue to feel like they'd be best served sitting. In terms of quarterbacks that are ready to come in and play from day one, we know that's the case with Michael Penix. We know that's the case with Jaden Daniels. That's why this conversation gets so interesting to me. I told you what Jason Lockenfora had to say about Washington. There was some other really good stuff in here as well. He talked about quarterback needy teams that could be looking to move up. Arizona, with that fourth overall pick, is a landing spot that people think a trade could happen at. The Giants, the Vikings, and the Raiders are the teams that rival executives feel like are the most motivated to trade up. And we heard about New York and Minnesota with Adam Schefter in the audio we played in the first hour of the show. But throw the Las Vegas Raiders in there as well. This interests me because those are three teams that may give Washington a massive haul of picks in order to move up to two. Now, I would cancel out the Giants. We played your audio last week. Joe Shane said it at their pre-draft media availability that they're not going to take a quarterback. But Joe Shane could be lying. It's lying season. Everybody's lying. But not everybody's lying, if you get what I'm saying. Looking at Minnesota and Las Vegas in terms of teams that Washington can trade back with, the Minnesota thing is really interesting because they have two first-round picks in this draft. Now, the thing where I feel like the Raiders may have a leg up and may present a better trade package is they have a second round pick and Vegas also has control of their own third round pick. For Minnesota, after their two first round picks, the Vikings are not back on the clock, unless I'm tripping here, the Vikings are not back on the clock until round number four. So that lessens the haul that you can get this year. But in terms of future first, you can get 11, you can get 23. I think because they lack a second and a third, you can ask for another first in 2025. If Washington in total can get three first-round picks from the Minnesota Vikings, I would have interest in moving down to 11. And think about it like this. Even if Washington goes from 2 to 11, they can still potentially get back up to 5 with the Chargers, 4 with the Cardinals, or maybe 7 with the Titans. There's a lot of different ways it could go for Washington in terms of a trade scenario. I do not think a trade back is off of the table. There are too many options here. But in terms of who they would be most likely to trade back with, according to Jason Lock and Fora, Vikings, Raiders, Giants, three teams that are most motivated to trade up. Now, there is one team in the top 10, according to Albert Breer of the MMQB, that has been sniffing around on quarterbacks. That makes things interesting. In terms of teams that have been sniffing around on the quarterback position within the top 10, Atlanta is another team that you continue to hear. If they don't go defense, maybe they're a team that trades back and wants to get one of these quarterbacks. I know the Denver Broncos are still doing their homework potentially on getting a quarterback. It's a lot of different ways this thing can go. But according to Jason Lock and Fora, Odyssey NFL Insider, as well as NFL Insider, for the Washington Post, he talked to two general managers, and they had this to say about Washington. They believe that if Washington lets the analytics guide them, J.J. McCarthy is their guess for the number two pick. If the coaching staff has their way, Jayden Daniels would be the pick. But despite Lock and Fora and those general managers pegging it down to just two guys, I firmly believe this is a four quarterback discussion. I think Drake May is in consideration. I think Jayden Daniels is in consideration. I think J.J. McCarthy is in consideration. And I think Michael Penix Jr. is in consideration. We opened up the phone lines earlier. I want to do it again. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. As we sit 4 days out from the draft, how do you view Michael Penix now that Adam Schefter says NFL teams are comfortable with the medical? And then how would you feel, or how likely do you think it is that Washington trades back for a massive haul of picks? Would you be okay? Let's get more specific here. Would you be okay moving back to 11 with the Minnesota Vikings if they gave you 11, 23, their fourth-round pick this year, their first-round pick next year, and another third-round pick next year? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Chris is in Damascus.
Are you there, over now?
How you doing?
You're making my head hurt. And you're talking about somebody, everybody kissing somebody's rear end, but here, look, here's all I know about this. There's one on the tight end, from what I understand, Brock Bowers, who's separate from any other tight end I've heard, and there's Caleb Williams, who's ahead of all the quarterbacks. I'm not saying anything else. The rest of it, you don't know. You're talking about the media and the evaluator. No, I'm getting it right. But anyway, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. And I haven't heard anything. First of all, I think we could chill a little bit. I want to hear about some defense and how our defense is going to shut everybody out. And we're going to run the ball. And lastly, please, let me say this, because talking about kissing butt. Mitchell Parker, mm-hmm. Pitcher for the Nationals.
Yes.
Credits Mr. Corbin for helping him tighten up his game.
Chris, did you hear me talking about Mitchell Parker at the top of the show?
Yes, I did, but you always trash. And you were kind of right. And well, no, you. I don't know if you were quite kind of right, but really in the beginning of the season, you were talking about going 5 and 6 innings. Yes, that's important after a while, but you can't just you can't be too hard on these guys. Let it come, let it be, and that's what Patrick Corbin is. He's got dignity, and he's a hero. And let's not forget that before we start killing people. But anyway, I can't wait till this is over.
Exactly. Chris, I appreciate the call as always, my friend. I can't wait till it's over either. Carl is out in Calvert County. What's going on, Carl?
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
All right, so I think it's hilarious that he said two GMs said that J.J. McCarthy would be the pick if they used analytics. And I'm not saying that they didn't say it, but this is lying season. Because if the analytics were to pick on J.J. McCarthy, he would probably be a third-round pick. It's when he's in the building that's driving him up into the first round. But I think the analytics are saying it's Drake May. I think Adam Peters is very driven by the analytics. He did this smoke screen in 2021 with Trey Lance and Mac Jones. Everybody thought it was Mac Jones going third to the 49ers when it was Trey Lance all along. I think he's letting things leak to say that it's going to be Jaden Daniels when really it's been Drake May since day one.
Carl, I appreciate the call. The analytics, it would be interesting because I feel like if they are going based off of analytics, how does McCarthy prove to be the guy in terms of pressure to sack percentage? He's right there in the middle of the pack of these guys. The arm strength was the second highest measured at the combine, so there's that. I don't know. Like I continue to say, I will be okay with whatever four of the quarterbacks they end up taking. They just got to get this pick right. Point blank, period. Paul is in D.C. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, what's up, Ron? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Hey, look, the way I see it, first of all, I'm not tripping on no two GMs. That's anonymous. You know what I mean? Like, that's foolishness. And me being in that type of field, my pops used to coach the Wizards. And I understand that it is, like the gentleman saying, this line season around this time when everybody use all their PR relations to drop, you know, little nuggets to everybody, to throw smoke screens on everybody. At the end of the day, if you get Michael Penix and Minnesota come to you with that package that you just laid out, I take that package and I take Michael Penix. All that analytics means nothing. It's the eye test, baby. And he went up. They took that team to the championship. He played hella fire ball, and he has a great, accurate deep ball. And so you could teach them how to hit them little nuggets underneath. So it's the deep ball that most quarterbacks have problems with, you know?
For sure. For sure, Paul. Yeah. I appreciate the call. Appreciate you tapping in. Long time no hear.
But my main pick would be Daniels, unless they get that haul that Minnesota that you laid out.
Yes.
If they don't get that, you lost too many games to not get Daniels.
I hear you. Paul, I appreciate you tapping in as always. David out in Silver Spring. You there,
hey,
David?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, here I am. I'm sorry. I was just saying, you know, with what you described, you could demand from Minnesota, Justin Jefferson.
Now, that would be interesting.
You know, Carolina put DJ Moore up when they didn't have enough trade pieces last year. And
would it be Justin? You think they would rather... You think they would move Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison? I think you make a good point, and I appreciate the call, that you could potentially, because Minnesota doesn't have the second-round pick, it doesn't have the third-round pick, would they be willing to give up Justin Jefferson? I don't know. They've got Jordan Addison. He had a hellified rookie year. T.J. Hawkinson's a legit weapon at tight end. Their offensive line, I think, is damn good. There's a lot of different ways this thing can go. But with Adam Schefter reporting earlier that Michael Penix has a clean bill of health, I just think it's really hard for us to completely omit him out of this process. That's just how I feel. They're not telling anyone anything at this point. Everyone was so caught up in the fact that Jaden Daniels and his agent were ticked off about the Topgolf visit. Why don't we pay attention to the guys they brought in? They wouldn't have brought in all four quarterbacks if there isn't legit interest in all four quarterbacks. Chris is in Hyattsville. What's going on, Chris?
What's up, Linnell?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good. Listen, I don't know where you're getting this information or who said what, But I don't see anything analytically that separates J.J. McCarthy.
That's what Jason Lock and Flora and the GMs are saying.
Well, Eugene Shen has a history with, you know, running quarterbacks and because of his time in Baltimore. And I think that if that's the case, and he does value the running game, and which and that cascades down to the rest of his analytics department, then I think they would value a mobile quarterback. And then after that, an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Just due to the, you know, the those two factors combined. So, I mean, if you're going by analytics, the numbers don't favor McCarthy. And in fact, Caleb Williams was ranked lower than several of the other quarterbacks in
the
draft.
That's why it's going to be fascinating, Chris, because the analytics, they could tell a different story for each of these guys. I appreciate the call. Stanley is out in Tacoma Park. Last call here before we get to Jason Lock and Fora. What's going on, Stanley?
Hey, you wouldn't say Linnell, man.
What's going on?
Hey, look, Michael Penick is a wild card. I'm going to tell you why. What do you think the next biggest need for that team is?
Talking about the Commanders?
Yes.
I would say offensive tackle.
Okay, they haven't chosen the left one. They haven't chosen the right one. Until they get Penick, they may get a right. They get Jaden Daniels or someone. Okay, now watch what I say now. They can wait till they get their quarterback and move back in and get either right tackle or left tackle. And I'll take it off and I'll call you back on Friday.
Stanley, I appreciate the call, baby. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's get to Wayne and Bowie. Wayne, got to be quick here. We got Jason Lock and Ford
coming
up.
Thank you, Linnell. I won't take up too much time. I really enjoy you, even when you're on Craig Hoffman's show. I got one thing to say. This guy has proven that he has such an upside, Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. He won the Heisman Trophy. He had never thrown an interception this last year. And he ran for over 1,100 yards. What more do you want? I don't want Drake May. He's a project. Everybody's talking about upside. No, we need a quarterback that can start now.
Yes.
The hell with the upside. You look at Jaden Daniels, you're looking at Lamar Jackson. I'm out.
Wayne, I appreciate the call. Jason Lock and Fora, Odyssey NFL Insiders, next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock, the final edition of Overtime before the NFL draft. And we're bringing out the heavy hitters. I only go to the experts. Right now, we go out to the BetQL guest hotline. Is where we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast In the Huddle with Brian Baldinger and Carl Dukes, covering the entirety of the National Football League. You can also check out Jason's work in the Washington Post, one of the most plugged in guys in the area when it comes to the National Football League, joins us now. Jason, how you doing, my friend?
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. You tell me. Your piece that you wrote on Friday, loaded with plenty of good nuggets. I'm always a big fan of your work. I obviously want to get to nugget that we had on the Washington Commanders, and I'll read it again for the listeners if you're just now tapping into the show. Jason talked to two general managers that told him they believe if the Commanders let the analytics department guide their decision with that number two overall pick, Michigan's J.J. McCarthy would be the guy. But if the coaches hold significant sway, and if Cliff Kingsbury, if his voice resonates, then Jaden Daniels would be the selection. Can you expound upon that and why you think these GMs said that to you?
Well, if you look at sort of some of the dots that or tea leaves to read or whatever, and who they chose as offensive coordinator, and even the Mariota signing, you know, kind of points to a certain profile. And look, I think, you know, Dan Quinn, if you sort of look at his history, I don't think he's a huge risk taker. You know, I think he's a little bit sort of risk averse. I think he kind of try to drill down and kind of see what consensus would be, or, you know what I mean, what a lot of people would do in this instance. And a lot of those things would point to, you know, Jaden Daniels being the pick.
Yeah.
Now, McCarthy hasn't been asked to do the same things in college, but if you drill down on what he can do physically and you drill down on the data that's available, just sort of talking to some different teams about him, they tell me he's an analytics star even without the volume of work of some of these other quarterbacks and even being in a system that didn't have him throwing the ball as much as some others. Look, if you made me flip a coin right now, I'd say I think Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But look, if you also told me it was Drake May, I wouldn't be like, that's impossible. You know, like, I mean, if you told me Spencer Rattler, holy moly. All right.
Jason, let me ask
you. I didn't see that coming.
Jason, let me
Portals
ask you
2.0,
this.
But,
yeah. Because you've been around this area and know the way this previous regime worked, it seems like they've been keeping things very close to the vest.
Yes.
I continue to believe they brought in the four quarterbacks to Topgolf last week because they're interested in all four of them. Now, Michael Penix Jr. is the guy that we haven't really seen talked about a lot when it comes to the top of these draft boards. Your co-host and partner, Brian Baldinger, has him as QB2 on his board.
Yeah.
If the medicals are clean with Michael Penix, where do you think he could go, and how do you think executives feel about him?
Look, everybody I know likes him, and teams I've talked to don't have a reason to lie to me because they're not taking a quarterback, but they have the medical data available to them.
Right.
They don't see a problem with him. I mean, he's had some procedures. A lot of guys have. But they don't see evidence of anything chronic or arthritic or anything like that. I've been writing in the Post since November that Michael Penix is going in the first round, and he's going to go higher than people may think. And I'm basing that on people, again, I'm talking to who are pretty deep in this process who, you know, feel like he's a first-round talent. And because of the supply and demand, he's a top half of the first-round talent. I mean, look, like, you could tell me Minnesota moved to four to get somebody and the Giants just take Penix at six. I wouldn't be shocked. You could tell me that somebody moved to four to grab Penix and May's still there and the Giants take May at six. Like, that wouldn't shock me. I don't think he's getting past the Raiders at 13. Again, it's not a novel thought to me. I've written as much and hypothesized as much for quite some time now. He has the ability to make some true upper echelon throws. He's won. He's, again, I think way too much was made of the medicals.
Yeah.
And he's proven through this process to be plenty athletic enough. So, I think he's going pretty high.
I tend to agree with you, Jason. And I know the media, obviously, we get people in trouble all the time with this. The media doesn't seem to be as high on him. But as we get to this portion in the pre-draft process where we're just, 72-odd hours out from round one, you start to get the real deal on how these teams are feeling. You've said that you think, people are higher on Penix than the media thinks. Diana Russini of The Athletic has come out and said as much. Schefter said as much. All the noise seems to be towards him going potentially, in my opinion, in that top 10. And I think the scenarios that you laid out are very possible. The other interesting thing about this draft, Jason, is there's going to be a run on offensive tackles at some point. And it's going to be a team-by-team decision as to which one they prefer. Jordan Reed of ESPN thinks that Washington is for sure trading back up into round one for one of these offensive tackles. In the range of, say, 20 through 25, do you see those teams being willing to trade out? Because I think Pittsburgh's taking one.
Yeah.
I think Miami needs to take one.
Yeah.
Philadelphia may go there depending on, how they feel about the succession plan post-Kelsey. So are those teams going to be willing to move out for Washington in exchange for an offensive
line? Yeah, there's some teams there that have some, I don't know about that, like Baltimore at 30. Like, there'll definitely be some teams in that range who are okay to do it. I just don't know what offensive lineman is going to be there that somebody feels like I've absolutely positively got to get him now. Even by 25, 26, I think eight are gone. Somebody moving for, offensive lineman 9, offensive lineman 10. It's possible, but I just don't know that the price point's going to be met.
Just because of the surplus amount of guys that are there.
Yeah, and there's going to be, more of, there's going to be plenty available at the start of day two who are not that, who you probably think of in a cluster with at least one or two of the guys who are in consideration at the very end of the first round. So, it could happen. I'd be interested to see. I would think it's for one of the kids who are, massive but need development. The kid Morgan from Arizona, the kid Mims from Georgia. Could somebody view them highly enough that they get in front of Green Bay or something like that? That's a spot that a lot of people are looking at for an offensive line. It certainly could happen. But I'm not banking on it.
Talking right now to Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. Jason, this article that you put out Friday, your work has been tremendous. I always love reading your stuff as we get geared up for the draft and during the regular season as well. You got your ear to the streets, as the young folks like myself like to say, Mr. Jason Lockenfora. The Daniel Jones piece in this article I think is fascinating. We saw Joe Shane last week come out at the pre-draft presser and say, no, they don't feel the need to take a quarterback. And he mentioned Drew Lock. I know his deal is loaded with incentives. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think about the Giants quarterback situation? It doesn't make sense for them to take a quarterback because realistically speaking, you're putting them in the same horrendous set of circumstances that Daniel Jones has had to survive.
Well, I don't know. I mean, people's jobs are sort of on the line there. And
yeah.
The head coach inherited Daniel Jones, and for 1 year, he kind of melded some clay there, and then the whole thing fell apart. I think you have to worry about his availability. Drew Lock is just there so you could say that you have somebody who's not named Daniel Jones. when people ask you questions about your quarterback situation, and you can try to poo-poo how acute your need is because you want to set expectations. Because if you tell the truth and then you don't come away with one who can play, then you've kind of hung yourself out. Or even you don't come away with one at all. Or, again, you take Spencer Rattler somewhere day two. I wouldn't read too much into what they say or Drew Lock. They've got to turn things around this year. they've got to give that ownership reasons to think that there are things in place that he needs to keep in place to, you know, stay on an upward trajectory, and that's going to start with the quarterback position. There's no way in hell that I think they look at Drew Lock with enough upside to prevent them from trying to come up with somebody with even significantly more upside, yeah, you know, who actually might keep that program going. So, no, I know that they've, you know, they're seeing what it would take to get to 4, to get to 5. It's a very difficult read because, again, there's not a whole lot of firm information out there about who's going to do what, and some of these things may have to play out on the clock, which is not how, you know, ideally these front offices would script it. But I would be absolutely stunned if the Giants don't. I mean, worst case is, again, or the sort of the least being a Spencer Rattler, but
yeah.
I think they're going to do significantly more than that. I think they're taking a quarterback, you know, somewhere between 4 and 6.
Another fascinating thing within the NFC East, Jason, is what the hell is going on with the Dallas Cowboys? Dak Prescott and Stephen Jones saying two completely different things this past weekend in terms of negotiations have started. Dak says those conversations haven't happened yet. What's your read on what's happening in Dallas? And then I'll ask you this. Of their trio of guys that need to get paid, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, shouldn't Dak be the priority here? It seems like he's kind of not.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I don't think a whole lot. They're not into spending a whole lot of money. I think they're kind of trying to have it both ways with Dak. Like, they want to lower that cap number, but they don't want to have a whole bunch more guaranteed money hanging out there, locking him to them. You know, for another 3-4 years. They like making money, and they make a whole lot of money, and they like us talking about us, like, you know, them now, like we are, and they like being in the news. I mean, they're in the news even when they don't do anything.
Yeah.
but no, look, if everybody was harmonious about the Dak situation, and the sides were anything close to agreement as to what that exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that this has been, you know, talked about since before last season started. So I think clearly Jerry Jones, in his own sort of way, is showing that, you know, I'm not as sold on this guy as I once was. And, you know, you haven't done exactly what I thought you were going to do. So, yeah, we could work something out and lower your money and get you the chance to make some more money in the future. But it's got to be on your terms, because I don't think you've given us exactly what we thought we were going to get when we did this, you know, when we redid this thing the last time. And look, he's going to have sticker shock with the wide receiver thing no matter what.
I mean, at that
position, it's like quarterback now. The longer you wait, brother.
Jason, hold on, brother. You just dropped the line there.
The uglier it's going to get. I mean, Ayuk's going to get his bag eventually. Jamar Chase is going to get his bag. I don't know what they're waiting for there.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do themselves any favors, because CeeDee Lamb's not going to relent. I mean, he's their offense now. Like,
exactly.
He knows he's become their offense.
He knows it. And you said a phrase there. That's why you're the best, Jason. Sticker tag? Like he's frightened by the price tag of the receivers? Because the worst kept secret, I think, in the NFL, Jason, is that the Dallas Cowboys don't have any money.
Well, they got – I mean, look, he's got it. He just doesn't want to spend it. I mean, there's no way in hell you can tell me he doesn't
they don't have it. Yeah.
These guys are making more money than you could ever fathom. For just the franchise values alone, just – what they're making with their beer sponsorships and their pizza sponsorships and their gambling sponsorships. And
so does it just mean they're just not smart, Jason? Because you hit it right on the head, and I've been saying this as well about CeeDee Lamb. There are multiple receivers that need to get paid this offseason. And based on the numbers CeeDee Lamb has put up the last 2 years, he can make an argument that he should beat Justin Jefferson in a contract. He can make an argument that he should beat Jamar Chase. And as you mentioned, with the leverage, he is their offense.
Yeah, I mean – I don't know, man. It's hard to explain, but this has been going on for a while. And even in the past where people would talk about them and, you know, they'd pay Dak. But I'd say, well, if you really look at their actual payroll, don't get caught up in funny money and fake money and cap space and cap. If you look at the cash going out based on how much they bring in and all of their additional marketing and everything they do and how much money they make when they take the thing out to Oxnard every summer and sell 9 million jerseys out there. And I mean, it's like they haven't been reinvesting in it for a while. Not to the degree that they could. So he obviously has a budget. He's running it how he wants to run it. But that's not a team that's on any sort of upward trajectory.
One thing I've also heard about the Dallas Cowboys and the money being a little bit of an issue, Jerry apparently rolling with Mike McCarthy for one more year because he doesn't want to pay two head coaches, rather.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, look, if you think money doesn't play a role in those decisions, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, who did he see out there that he thought would be an upgrade, and how much is that going to cost, and how much is all that guy's assistance that he's bringing, how much are his assistants going to cost? Absolutely. No, I mean, Jerry's very aware of what's coming in and what's going out.
It's going to be interesting, man. Jason, I'll let you go on this, my friend. The wide receiver position is something else that I think is going to be fascinating when it comes to this NFL draft. The Pittsburgh Steelers, according to your reporting, are going to be one of those teams that are going to be pretty aggressive in trying to acquire a guy. How would you gauge their situation when it comes to receiver? And then as we sit here on April the 22nd, I'm asking you to go way out on a limb. Who do you think is the day one starter for Pittsburgh?
I think it's Justin Fields. I think it's Justin Fields, and I don't think it's going to be particularly – I think that decision will be pretty obvious to them what their offense looks like in its totality with him and how much they can expand it and move that – you know, move the launch point around. And I just – I mean, that backfield, him and Warren in the backfield together, like mm-hmm. –
I'm glad you mentioned him. He's the more explosive of the guys. I know Najee had a bounce back year.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's how that's going to go. And look, they've been incredibly proactive this whole offseason, and they've done things that franchise doesn't usually do. Ayuk, Sutton, somebody. They're certainly looking like some other teams are. And there's always the possibility they move up in this draft as well to get one, although I think they're certainly open to moving up. I'm not 100% sure that it would be for a wide receiver in the end. But, yes, I think they will add a veteran presence of some, you know, caliber to that room either before, during, or right after the draft.
It's going to be fascinating to see what ends up happening with all this. Jason, I appreciate you giving me some time, my friend.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Next time we talk, the face of the Washington Commanders will be in town. You know, we'll be real excited on this neck of the woods, my friend. I appreciate you giving me some time.
Absolutely. Enjoy the draft. Thank you.
That is Odyssey NFL Insider Jason Lockenfora. Make sure you give the Inside the Huddle, or excuse me, make sure you follow In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Jason, one of the absolute best when it comes to talking ball in the NFL draft. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, a little bit of an update on the NBA playoffs. Magic and Cavaliers game 2 underway. We'll keep you up to speed on that next. This is The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Big thank you to Odyssey NFL Insider Jason Lockenfora for giving us the goods in the last segment on everything NFL draft related when it comes to the Washington Commanders. If you want to hear that conversation, use the Always Free Odyssey app and go back to the 8:15 segment. I believe it starts at 8:25 on the Odyssey app. For my conversation with Jason Lock and Ford, Donald will have the podcast up here momentarily. But it has been an electric final edition of Overtime as we get geared up for the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. In about 10 minutes, we'll be joined by our pal Law Murray, who covers the NBA and the LA Clippers for the Athletics. So we'll switch gears here a little bit. Want to get you all up to speed with the latest in the NBA postseason. Cavaliers and Magic Game 2. Orlando down 14 with 112 left to go in the third quarter. The high man right now, I say it in the playoffs, is always somebody new that comes out to play for a team. Franz Wagner, not really a new contributor for Orlando, but he has been talky hot from beyond the arc. He's knocked down two threes, but unfortunately, too much Donovan Mitchell right now for the Orlando Magic. I talked about it at the top of the show. Donovan Mitchell, eighth all-time in the NBA when it comes to points per game in the postseason. He's got 19 points. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, once again, taking this matchup very personally. 15 points, 14 boards, two steals, a block for Jared Allen. So the big fella's in the middle taking it personal. We'll see if Orlando has what it takes to come back in this fourth quarter. Halftime out at the Garden. Knicks and Sixers game two. Remember Tyrese Maxey coming into this one was questionable as he was dealing with flu-like symptoms. He's got 20 points on 7 of 11 shooting. And right now it is the Sixers that hold a four-point lead heading into the locker room against the New York Knicks. Remember the storyline in game number one. The New York Knicks plus 14 on the offensive boards against Philadelphia. Here in this one, the offensive rebounds have not been the story. It's been how efficient Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid have been. Another key part in this as well, the other guys, the other night in that Game 1 series, didn't come to play. Tobias Harris getting going. He's got 10 early points as well here in this one. All season long, though, if you've watched the Knicks versus the Sixers, they have had the kryptonite for Jalen Brunson. He was 9 of 26 the other night in that Game 1. He's 4 of 14 to start with just 13 points. Josh Hart, once again, though, coming to the rescue for the New York Knicks. He has been massive. 19 points, 9 rebounds for Josh Hart. He's knocked down 4 three-pointers. And that's been the difference, you know, in this series to this point. Josh Hart and the other guys for the Knicks coming up strong, as well as, you know, the offensive rebounds in Game 1. But right now, the Sixers keeping off the New York Knicks. We'll see if Tyrese Maxey and company can continue to play good basketball and tie this series up as the Knicks up 1-0 in this best of 7. 15-point lead now for the Orlando Magic over the Cleveland Cavaliers, for the Cavs over the Magic. 15 points for Paolo Banchero. Wink, wink in the studio uptown, Don. I might be looking good by the time the end of the night hits. Fourth quarter coming up in that one. We'll see if the Magic can come back. We will talk all things NBA coming up next. Law Murray, who covers the NBA for The Athletic, is set to join us next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.